final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Thank you.
is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, it's Old Shaziz here. I'm out here in my Mad Science Laboratory. Hope everybody's doing well. We put together a bit of a Mad Science Roundtable. We got my buddy Tom Sharp hosting the call in here. So if anybody needs to call in, call up Tom at him as a contact on there. And we got Larry Woods in here and Mitko. How y'all doing? Don't everybody jump to the mic at once. Hello.
I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking, Shaz. How's your week been?
It's been pretty busy. I've been working on the new lab, getting it up and running and stuff, and I can't wait to share that with everybody. And You know, hopefully that'll be the one where I'll end up having 24-hour a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year camera going, so people can watch experiments even when I'm snoozing.
Well, that'll be all right.
Anyway, put a couple links down there in the chat room to some metal. And one of the reasons why I put that up there is because it's a pretty fascinating metal. It's called Nitinol. Am I pronouncing that right? Yeah. I can't even remember the two metals that makes it up.
One of them is titanium.
There you go.
And the other one, I think it's nickel or something like that.
Yeah, well, watch the videos. It'll fill you in on that deal. But it's pretty fascinating metal. You know, you put it in cold water, and you can stretch it out. And wherever the shape was when it was heated up to 500 degrees is where it will stay. So you can actually have it in one shape and then reshape it to a different shape and then heat it up to 500 degrees, and it'll stay that way. And then whenever you put it in cold water, you can stretch it out and bend it in all different directions, and then put it in hot water, and it'll turn around and pop back to where it was whenever it was last shaped at 500 degrees. It's pretty amazing stuff. But if you look at the date on this thing, it was back in 1970 when they were talking about this thing, free energy, Nitinol. One of the links didn't come up very well on there. I'll have to post them in there individually and get that together here pretty quick. Anyway, the whole reasoning for putting that behind there was that there's so many different technologies out there that just get overlooked. You know, this is something that it's a pretty amazing little deal going on there. I mean, there's something serious to it, but trying to do 10 things at once. Anyway, this particular material, they actually built this little device that would use the whenever it snapped back into place, use that motion to actually move it around and turn a wheel. And you know, it's pretty ingenious what they did with it. But these are some of the anomalies that I was talking about with the different types of materials. You know, things like Peltier elements, that one side gets hot, the other side gets cold, and the temperature difference between the two of them actually produces an electric charge. If you look inside your igloo coolers, that's where you'll find these little Peltier elements. And you can actually buy them out there on eBay. They're pretty neat to do some experiments with. All you have to do is have one side colder than the other side, put a little heat on one side, and you'll notice it produces a charge. Kind of works like a thermocouple or a thermopile, both of which are thermoelectric. So you take two different dissimilar metals and put them together, and when you put heat to the end of it, then it will produce a small electric charge. These are used in all your furnaces out there, and actually there's a similar version of this particular metal we're talking about in every one of your cars. There's a doggone, I can't even remember what the name of that is now. Thermostat. When your thermostat gets up to 180 degrees, it opens up. The metal changes shape in the little spring right there, and it opens up, allows the water to go through there. But this is technology that's been around for quite some time that the average Joe kind of overlooks. And so with that said, these are the kind of things that I like to look into for in the alternative energy deal. The other day we had a little bit of a discussion about the difference between alternative energy, free energy, and zero-point energy. Let me try to explain this to you real short and sweet. I'm talking about free energy. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it, because it's all around us. We're swimming in a pool of free energy. The difference is out there in the alternative energy world and the internet, YouTube, so forth, so on, people are getting it confused with zero-point energy. See, zero-point energy, they're looking to try to put in a bit of energy and bring out more energy than they put in. So anything after that is what they call free energy. That's not what I'm even remotely talking about. I'm talking about free energy like from the sun, from the wind, from the dirt, from water wheels, all kinds of different stuff. There's energy you can grab right out of the air, and it costs you nothing. It's free energy, you know. You can put certain circuits together, little coil of wire, capacitor, germanium diodes, and essentially what you got is a circuit that'll pick up signals out of the air. Depending on how many turns on that coil you got, you can pick up all different frequencies. You could take the same little simple circuit and make multiple circuits with different sizes of antennas on it, and you can pick up energy all day long, 24/7 days a week, you know, 365 days a year, free electricity right out of the air. There's a deal out there, a big group out there that's studying static energy, you know. They got a couple 200-foot towers, and on these 200-foot towers they have a cable going across that has small points of graphene on there, and they're picking up 2,000 kilowatts of 2,000 kilovolts, I believe it is, of electricity right out of the air. And they're charging up huge capacitor banks, and they have a 9,000 volt capacity in this one specific bank that they're using, and that's way more than enough to kill you. You know, that's a lot of power just being picked up right out of the air. And these folks, you know, although they got their stuff patented, they want everybody out there to test and reproduce their design so that, you know, they can prove what it is they're saying. You know, there's a lot of free energy devices out there where people shove batteries in side stuff. They got pretty nifty ways of hiding, you know, like a battery inside of a 2x4 with some wires on there, and they call it free electricity, and they'll get a whole bunch of YouTube hits and views and that kind of stuff, which is kind of discouraging to me, because I know a lot of alternative energy researchers out there with good content, and they're not getting near the views that these other guys are getting that are out there trying to scam people. And we're not into trying to scam anybody. We're just simply trying to share some knowledge and information with folks. So with that said, you guys got any ideas on all that? Anybody? Man, you guys got to learn about radio.
As well as all those different types, there's magnetic energy out there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people are doing wonderful things with magnetics these days.
And magnets are amazing, because if you look at them, there's continuous, all the time, a magnetic field going there. There's energy in motion there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's permanent until, you know, that magnetism wears off of that. But yeah, you're right, because I've seen a lot of different deal on magnetic motors, and there's a lot of them, to me, sound really plausible. As a matter of fact, whenever I first started in alternative energy, I designed up a magnetic motor, and I put it out there, and some university over in Australia took it up and started doing a similar design to mine. I don't care. Had somebody send me a message on one of my videos. It was one of my redneck wind turbine video that I put on there, and he's like, I got to be careful about putting my ideas out there, because somebody will steal my idea, patent it, and then turn around and sue me for my video. I don't care whether they try to sue me or not, man. I'm not trying to sell anything, so, you know, let them go ahead and try that one. That'll be funny. They'll have a surprise waiting for them on that episode. But either way, you know, there's a lot of technology out there that just flat out gets overlooked. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, I've got a buddy working with magnetics that's got such a high amount of torque, he can turn two diesel generators with it.
Well, you know, and there's the thing, you know, the problem where everybody gets, whenever they do get good designs like that, is they try to get them patented and then try to get them out there on the market, and that's where the doggone people, you know, really get them, you know. It's hard to get stuff on the market without the doggone government trying to move in and say, you know, hey, that's a matter of national security, we can't have you release that. Or like Stan Myers, perfectly healthy guy, whenever he told him he didn't want to put his designs into military equipment, suddenly a couple weeks later he has a heart attack, you know.
Yeah.
And that's messed up. but everybody, even his work, it still lives on today. You know, there's still skeptics out there and trolls that will keep trying to say, oh, well, it takes too much energy to produce hydrogen. Well, that's a hock a hooey, man. That's, you know, it's all in how you design the thing. I can build a really junky hydrogen cell. You know, just two plates of stainless steel and, you know, hook it to a 12-volt battery, you know, throw a little bit of salt in some water or baking soda, whatever, you know, to help make the water a little more conductive, and bam, you got a hydrogen cell. And I've seen enough explosions in my lab jacking around with hydrogen that I know how powerful that stuff really is. And so with that said, redesigning that into a better cell, you know, I made, you know, instead of only two plates, I made multiple plates. Now the next one that I'm going to do, instead of having the plates far apart like everyone else does, I'm going to have them really super close to each other so that it doesn't take nearly the current that it would take to actually start to separate the hydrogen and the oxygen from the water.
And 3 millimeters.
Yeah.
And circulate your fluid. There will pull the bubbles off the plates faster.
Yep. And see, there's a good point that's not often brought up in there. You want to explain that?
Yeah. The one side of your plate is positively charged. The other side is negatively charged. When you circulate the fluid, it just eliminates the bubbles faster.
Yeah, because most of the time as they're climbing up those plates, they're kind of clinging to them, and it takes a little bit of while before the next one comes up and bumps the one off to the next one. And if you wait too long, then that water will actually start to, the hydrogen and oxygen will actually start to connect back with each other. But with a circulation pump,
gas.
Yeah, with a circulation pump connected to it like you're talking about, yeah, that would be, you know, speed the process up.
Not only that, when you put your electrolyte through the circulating pump, polarize that stuff. The hydrogen molecule is at 107.5 degrees. When you polarize it, it's at 180 degrees. It comes apart easier.
Yep. And there's another thing that I was talking about. Back in the old days, the farmers used to take, after they got their diesel tractors up to operating temperature, begin to inject water into the cylinders, and everybody like, wow, that's crazy, you're going to scorch your cylinders. Not the case. The heat inside there was enough to separate the hydrogen and oxygen and turn it into fuel, so they were saving a massive amount of money. You know, this was back during the Depression that they were doing this deal. And so with that said, that technology ain't new. It's been around for a long time, you know.
Yeah. That's a simple Geed engine, and it's been around since my great-grandfather's time. First tractors around.
Yep, and this memory metal that we're talking about here earlier with the nitinol, that stuff there, the earliest video that I seen on it was from 1970. They had a deal on CNN about this memory metal, and they were showing this free energy device. And that was the last ever heard of it until somebody come across it and put it up there on YouTube. And there it is today, you know. But, you know, the technology is there. And that's why I keep on saying I'm going to prove 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt energy's free, you know. Everybody's looking for a holy grail machine. Well, I'm going to give them a holy grail machine. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep pointing out all these things right here, like this memory metal. You know, whenever you put some water to that, cold water, you know, you can stretch it out, hot water, it snaps back into place. You know, there's methods by which you can use the sun to do this, you know. And
that sounds like a propulsion system for a boat to me.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things, all kinds of implications that you could use that for. But the thing is, they're always talking about how solar is inefficient because, you know, you got cloudy days and you got nighttime, and so you don't get to pull energy off all day long. So what? Take advantage of the time you do have with the sun. Charge up a massive battery bank and use that energy there. And they was always trying to tell people that you can't store energy. That's the biggest hock-a-hooey in the history of time, because I'll tell you what, I grabbed a hold of an old TV one time that I know had to been in a dump at least a couple years, and that capacitor in that sucker was still charged.
Yeah.
That puppy lit me up, man.
If we can't store energy, then what's going on with the deal? Like a battery in a car, like the alternator's charging that up, and it stores it for whenever you need to start the car again.
Exactly. You know? And the only reason why batteries ever really go down is because you still have it connected to your system even whenever you're not using it or anything. You're not putting anything back in, so it's still got a little bit of a drain off into the system. Even though there's not a completed circuit, you know, there's still things attached to it where the electrons can still move around in there, you know, like maybe the little clock inside your stereo that doesn't go off whenever you shut your car off. It just kind of stays on there, you know, keeps the memory on that stereo, whatever. But either way, like you said, you're storing energy right there in the battery. And so if you got a huge battery bank and you allow yourself, extra time to use that battery, those batteries, like, you know, maybe you got a day or two that's going to be, rainy or something, and you're not going to get much sunlight. All right, well, so have a pretty good sized battery bank where you can get through an extra, you know, few hours or whatever, and then throw some doggone wind turbines up, and while it's storming outside, capture up some of that wind, charge your batteries again. You know, throw some galvanized and copper-coated ground rods down in, make you a circuit to domino that into capacitors and then bleed it off into the battery bank, and you're getting electricity out of the dirt. If you got a creek down there, I know I do, I got a creek down there that floods every time it rains any substantial time, and that water's moving right along, and so, you know, tap into that right there. So now you got wind power, you got solar power, you got hydroelectrics, you got earth batteries working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Nature has already supplied the energy. All you got to do is use it. So tell me, does anybody here disagree that free energy is free?
So energy is free. It's I think it's the mind behind the man that has tried to steer us in the other direction, saying, oh no, it's not free, you gotta pay for it.
Well, you gotta pay for the initial wind turbine unless you're ingenious and you decide to use common sense and go out to the dump and grab up all these appliances that other people just wastefully throw in the trash. You know, there's all kinds of copper wire in there, you know, magnetic copper wire. There's magnets in microwaves. There's permanent magnet motors in old treadmills. You know, person got a treadmill because they said, I'm going to stay in shape. And then after a while, you know, they just got tired of it, bored with it or whatever. Nobody, they couldn't sell it at a garage sale. They couldn't give it away, so they threw it off in a dump. Those got 30-volt permanent magnet motors in there that you can turn around and use as a generator, you know. So, you know, with that said, you got all kinds of DC permanent magnet motors. You got AC motors that can be turned into generators just by a few modifications. There's a Muddy Mud Man, my buddy over there, on his YouTube. He shows how you can turn a doggone old ceiling fan motor into, to a generator. So, you know, if you can't find a way to generate electricity, you just ain't trying. That's all there is to it. Anybody disagree with that?
Not at all.
Not at all.
So the whole thing is, you know, and I'm going to address the American people, you know. I feel honestly, this is from my honest view of what's going on here in America. I believe we have a treasonous, traitorous group of individuals up there from everywhere, from the Congress all the way to the Senate to the White House itself. And I believe that these guys are actually literally, intentionally, taking us down to a sure path to total destruction of the U.S. economy and everything that has to do with America in general. With that said, when, like the BO up there, he said, whenever he was getting elected up there, he said, under my energy plan, electricity bills will necessarily skyrocket. And he wasn't joking. He's talking about carbon taxes and everything that's going to bankrupt the coal industry, put a lot of people out of job, and take your light bill completely off the dang planet, you know. if I got a $300 light bill with everything that I run in two buildings, then he going to double or triple that right there. I'm not going to be able to afford that kind of a light bill every month. I mean, you know, $300 is a fat chunk of change when you're talking about, you know, on a monthly basis. And so, you know, either he's flat out stupid or he's just trying like heck with all these other knuckleheads that are up there supposedly representing the American people, you know, getting us into wars and all kinds of crazy stuff, selling us down the river. Either they're flat out stupid or they're doing it intentional. There's only two possibilities there. And so with that said, learning as much as you can about alternative energy and the things that you can recycle, repurpose, such as old ceiling fans or, you know, electric fans that maybe it burn out, you know, but you can still rebuild that thing. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can modify your refrigerator instead of working off of a heavy-duty air compressor pump. It doesn't take that much electricity to run a refrigerator. Modify that, modify your washer, modify your dryer, and now you don't have to have near as much energy. Take each one of your house rooms in your house off the power grid at a time, you know, slowly, doing some simple solar stuff, and you know, you got your lighting off the power grid, that's less money going to the man. So, you know, with that said, you got to do this, and you got to do it now, you know. And once America's down for the count, you know, then all the rest of them's going to pretty much follow like dominoes, because for the most part, America's pretty much the last place that actually has, you know, some illusion of rights and freedoms and stuff like that. You know, they keep picking away at it. But most of the other nations out there, you know, they've already got their guns, they've already got their freedoms, and you know, why do you think everybody wants to get over here, man? You know, does anybody disagree with that? Nobody? Man,
nope,
talking about really radio silence. I'm just saying, man, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist whilst I studied it all, because I don't believe in the word conspiracy theory. You know, it's not a theory. It's fact. It's really seriously going on. There are people who want to control the world. And if you don't believe that, then you're naive, you know. Go look at it in a biblical sense. It was prophesied in the Bible that, you know, this people would come on the scene, one man in specific, and bring everybody under one world government and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you can even take out that. Look at back in the day during J.P. Morgan and all the different big wigs from the back in the old days. They had monopolies on everything. And they tried to run each other out of business. And finally, you know, some of them got together and said, hey, you know, let's take over the world, more or less. But it's going on, you know. It's a real deal. Either way, these guys are going to jack it up for the average Joe, because they're going to, you're going to knock down the power grid, you know, try to push you off into cities to where you're all cramped in there like cattle. And then that's that, you know. I'm going to hold on to my little piece of land out here in the country with everything I got, and I'm going to get myself completely off the power grid, and I'm going to show everybody and his brother how to do it as well. And these are just little stepping stones and little bits of nuggets of knowledge that I'm sharing with you, of things that you can get right out of the dump that everybody throws away, you know?
Something about the coal problems you guys are experiencing. I'm doing my best to keep this coal from being like traced. I'm migrating all of us at once.
Cool.
So sorry about that. It's just, yeah, no, she says, I know you have a few issues with, like, you know, getting your PC shut down and stuff, so I'm, you know, seeing if this will help.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother, every time I get on certain subjects, you know, I wish that everybody could see my computer real time and see the intrusion alerts, attacks on my computer every single time I'm talking about certain subjects. It happens.
Got a remote desktop open, you know, I could probably check it out.
Yeah, well, I put a sacrificial computer in between me and this one, and so ever since I've done that, that one in there takes a beating, and I'm doing fine.
definitely. Yeah, she says, do you use any, programs like CyberGhost 5 or anything like that?
No, but I'd be willing to talk about them.
Sure thing. Well, CyberGhost 5, for anybody who doesn't know, that's a free VPN software. Okay? It's very, very simple. It's automatic. It's very secure. So all you have to do is download it, and then you just hit, the big power button. And it will connect you to servers, in the Netherlands. You can pick a few servers as a free user. And, it's great for not being tracked by the government or anybody for that instance, because, let's face it, that does occur.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When you start talking free energy, you're even more of a target.
Look, every time somebody goes and they sign on to Yahoo or Google or Facebook or YouTube or anything like that, or download software, 99.9% of all the people out there never ever even think about reading the terms of service. They just click I agree because they want to be able to talk on one of these nifty tools that they got. Down inside them user agreements, you pretty much told them they could spy on you. It was cool. Skype spies on you. Microsoft owns Skype now. And Microsoft, they love to spy on people.
Yeah, well, Windows is that. It is what it is, Windows. You can look both ways through Windows, can't you?
Yeah.
In and out.
But here's the thing. I don't care whether or not the FBI or the CIA or the DEA, the NSA or the TSA or even the president himself is spying on me, because I'm not saying anything to the world that I wouldn't say directly to their face. So what are they going to do? They send the men in black over to do me in? So be it. I'm not stressing. I'm not stressing. If the men in black come up to my door, they're going to get a surprise. I'm going to light them up with a whole lot of electricity coming out of some Tesla coils. And, hey, taser this, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Well, that would work.
Last great act of defiance.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, just recently, a lot of people in the group Anonymous, which to me is just a concept, that they've been pushing for everybody to do what they can to take, their privacy into their own hands, because we can't necessarily stop the NSA monitoring people directly, one-to-one, but we can stop their mass surveillance, and that's really what I'm trying to help push people for as well, start securing their internet connections. So you use Tor Browser, CyberGhost 5, that should be a good start for anyone.
I just say hi to them all the time. I hope they're listening in, Hey, give me the thumbs up on my videos and that kind of stuff. Because I'll tell you what, I'm on a mission. I've already pasted the internet with so much information that, if they do me in, they're just basically doing their self in, because the information's already out there. Pandora's box is open. I'm not stressing over that. There's just so much stuff that, like this memory metal and things like the old Mercury Arc rectifier, technologies that have just kind of got swept underneath the rug, hydrogen technology. We should be so much further advanced than what we are as a society right now, but the guys up at the top, they want to keep all the power and they want to keep all the good information for themselves. It's spy versus spy kind of stuff. Look at the James Bond, man. James Bond, in the movies, he had all these nifty gizmos that the average Joe couldn't even dream of, Pretty impressive technology, and that's, kind of reminiscent of what the government's got. Do you have a stealth bomber? No, you ain't got it, but you paid for it.
That is true.
So, what do you guys think? Larry, you there? Tom? Mitko?
I'm here.
You guys got any thoughts on the matter?
We're afraid of the United States.
Well, I'm afraid of the United States. I live here.
They're so against all this technology. We're kicking the big kid in the shins, and pretty soon he's going to try to squash us. There are so many third world countries out there that are screaming and starving for our technology.
Well,
they're so pro technology.
Well, that's why I'm trying to give it to them. I'm trying to do things like I'm in the process of building a full-size pop-pop boat, and I've remodified the boiler system in this thing. And if this thing functions like I truly believe it will, then you will literally have a solid-state boat motor that will not require any moving parts in order to make it work outside of maybe a rudder to steer the doggone thing. And you could use everything from solar thermal to burning wood inside of the boiler system right there that would keep the water circulating through the boat motor. And it's a really super simple concept. You know, the only thing that's held me back is I got a quote on the actual coil that I need to have built. And it's going to be about $1,500 just to have one of them. It's about almost $10,000 to have, or $8,000 and something to have 10 of them built. But I only need one. And I got a couple friends who think that they could actually build the coil, but really we haven't got much farther than talking about it yet. And, you know, so with that said, that's what's slowing me down on that episode. I've already got the boat ready. I need the coils, and I'll pop that in there and prove that you can actually build a scaled-up version of that old pop-pop boat. And with that said, if this boat works like I believe it will, in a third world country, that would be an amazing deal, transportation out there on the water where they didn't have to worry about the doggone boat motor breaking down. Also, absolutely, with the same exact concept, you can pump water up out of a well and purify the water at the same time without, you know, without ever even using electricity. And so these are the kind of ideas that I want to get out there on the table. And this is why I like putting together round tables like the Knights of the Round Table and today's Mad Science Round Table, because we got the technology. And we got enough talent between yourself and Mitko and Tom and my buddy Remini out there, you know, that all these guys that are in our circle, Alternative Energy, they got so many ideas. Get everybody together either in a virtual lab setting or in a real lab setting and just build stuff. Send the designs around the world for free to everybody and his brother so fast, right underneath the table, that these guys can't even do nothing to stop it. Why do you think they want to get control of the internet, man? Because this information, they don't want people knowing. You know?
Well, they don't want people passing around information, that's for sure. They definitely want to stop people associating, you know. The more we can divide people up, the better in their opinion.
Well, yeah,
which
you know.
Really sucks. I'm not really super into the free energy stuff, but I mean, like, even recently I've, like, been having a crack at trying to make, like, a really compact sort of wind turbine that I can stick on my roof.
Well, brother, you showed me your light bill one time, and I dang near had a stroke when I seen the price of your light bill. You're in Australia.
Yeah, that's what happens in your country. It sells off the, you know, power utility companies to foreign investors, and then they get deregulated, and they can put the price of whatever the fuck they want. That's what happens. Yeah, you get $1,400
power bills. Watch the words, man, brother. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're killing me.
$1,400?
Yeah, easy. You saw it, Shazizz.
Wow.
Yeah. $1,400 for one studio apartment.
And then this goes down to...
This is a one-bedroom place.
What are you going to do? Pay for your lights or pay for food in your mouth?
Yeah, well, I'm lucky I'm resourceful, so I sort of grow my own food.
Yeah, you'd have to.
I live in a rural area as well, so I'm a little bit lucky there. I can go fishing and do that. I don't really like fishing out of the ocean, though, because I'm sure it's laced with some trace of radiation from Fukushima.
Well, I mean, you know, there's another thing.
They put so many tons of nuclear material into the Pacific. I mean, there has to be some trace.
There's another thing that goes all the way back to the BP oil spill that a lot of people haven't factored in. When they put that Corexit in the water, now, if anybody's ever done any research on Corexit, it supposedly eats up the doggone crude oil. Well, if it's eating crude oil, imagine what it's doing to the fish, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's killing the bottom where it sinks down on it.
Yep.
They say if you go to, like, the Sea of Japan or whatever, and, you know, you go under there, it's dead. There's nothing there. You know?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. The amount of crap that just poured into the ocean, since they don't really want to contain it.
And that chemical that they put in to eat the oil doesn't stop eating oil.
No, it continues. There's oil in the fish.
Once it's eaten, it's going to soak down into the oil reserve and eat it up. That was the same stuff that they introduced when the Exxon Valdez had its thing. They put that microbe out there that eats oil, but they don't have any way to kill that microbe.
Yeah, and that's the problem. See, there's oil in fish, you know? And what do you think that's doing to them, man? You get massive fish die-offs going off. One could be because of, like, what Remedy was talking about with, you know, heavy doses of radiation in certain areas and stuff like that. And then the other, the corrects it, that it's like, you know, when you put that Ridex in your septic system, that's a natural deal that makes, you know, bacteria in there that breaks down the solid waste and stuff like that. And, you know, it basically grows. It's a living deal, just like the, you know, the corrects it stuff, you know. And so it's multiplying, you know. And how far can it multiply before it completely destroys the entire ecosystem under the ocean? That's my question. There were all kinds of natural ways by which they could have cleaned up that spill, but they wouldn't listen to anybody who were talking about that kind of stuff, you know?
I think the oil with the fish is a bit different from the oil which the bacteria eats. I'm not sure, but...
Well, either
I think it's different.
Well, either way, it's still not going to be any benefit to these fish. And, you know, they should have tested this really way before, ahead of time, you know. You know, either way, like I said, they were finding huge beads of this stuff that just basically fell to the bottom as opposed to, you know, being on the top. It just basically sunk. You know, it's down there. It can't be doing good for the seafloor.
Oh, well, you're not wrong. Could be definitely doing something bad to the seafloor.
And Fukushima is now a weapon of mass destruction. It's emitting all kinds of nanoparticles that are radioactive. And they're traveling around the world.
Well,
this
is
going to kill off 90% of the population.
If they would listen to outside of the box ideas, then there could be a solution for all these problems out there, and they don't.
Oh, well, I believe that the solutions are really, you know, pretty simple things, like just convert all the roadways in the U.S. to solar power, like the solar-powered roadways.
Yeah.
That solves your problem instantly.
Yeah, so something else for the power company to get free power and charge toll roads. And once again, they're going to get the money for the power for free, and we're going to pay for it.
Yeah, and
I'm against the toll roads.
The whole thing is, you know, we got to do this by ourselves, not ask for permission, just throw up solar panels, throw up wind turbines. And if you live in a neighborhood where you got one of these homeowners associations that wants to tell you what color your grass can be, or how your house has to look, or what you can have in your yard, or whatever, just move, man. You know, if you want to live,
don't get there.
Yeah, just move. Cause I'm living out in a place that's not zoned, and so I don't ask anybody for anything. If I want a building, I'm gonna build it. If I want a solar panel or a wind turbine or whatever, I'm just gonna put it up. I'm not gonna ask. And if you do live in one of these places, be creative. Hide it. You know, put your solar panel in the bottom of your swimming pool. It's not going to hurt anything. It'll still produce electricity, you know, and probably be a little bit more efficient because it'll be cooler and be getting refractory light from the sun. You know, what are they going to do? They can't do nothing if they can't see it. Out of sight, out of mind. Whatever. You know, have your swimming pool producing electricity.
But yeah, that's what I'm working on at the moment. It's like a compact wind turbine.
Well, there's all kinds of...
Just clip into a series, so, you know, generate heat electricity.
There's all kinds of solutions that you could do out there, man. You could, like Muddy was always talking about, you know, underneath a compost pile, you can put black hose and that water will stay up to 160, 180 degrees while that compost is sitting there rotting, you know. And, you know, you could put solar panels. You don't need a massive solar array in order to charge batteries up. Now, keep in mind, It may take a little bit longer to charge your batteries up, but you got a battery backup system right there. If you, the larger your battery bank is, the more time you have to run off of it. You look at the cold cranking hours on there, and it'll basically tell you how long that battery will last. And deep cycle batteries, if you can get a hold of them while they're a little bit more expensive, you can run them down to 20%, and they will stay strong all the way down to 20%. And so, you know, with that said, there's all kinds of other technology. Capacitor banks, the newer capacitor technology, super caps, boost caps, that kind of stuff. You know, you can use those as well to store energy. So, if you got a closet somewhere, build you a rack and put you a battery bank in there. Use a solar panel to charge that thing up. And, you know, maybe if you can only get a day's worth of use out of it before it has to be charged up again for a couple days, that's one day you're not paying the electric bill. You see what I'm saying?
Everything will add up.
Yeah. It's like throwing pennies in a bucket, man. You know, it don't look like it's going to add up to much, but after that bucket's full, you got a lot of pennies in that bucket. That's just common sense, man. I'm building me a massive battery bank at my house. So, you know, I'm taking every battery. And even if you get the battery that has one dead cell in it, you can recondition those batteries. You can still use that a battery that only charge up to maybe 5 or 6 volts. You can use it as storage. Put that all the way at the end of your parallel line of batteries, and it'll still charge up. So, you know, as long as the first battery is at its highest potential, then all the batteries behind that, you know, just measure them out, test them to see which one has the best voltage on it, put it up front, the next lowest one down, all the way down to the one that only has maybe 3 cells left in it. It still will have battery charging capacity. And 9 times out of 10, you can get them for free all day long because people don't know where to get rid of them at. And so they either throw them off in a ditch or send them off to the dump or give them to the scrap man or whatever. But there's potential there. What do you guys think?
Oh, I believe it. You're actually running one with a dead cell in one of your setups there, aren't you, Shaz?
Yeah, but, you know, I did some measurements on it lately. And because I'm not just using it just draining power off, and I'm actually running a high voltage through this, it has actually reconditioned itself, and this thing has 13 volts coming out of it, you know, right out of the gate. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a good battery again. And I've had it there for 2 years. 2 years, same exact battery, you know, actually probably longer than that. I got it out of a bus. They were throwing it away because it had a dead cell in it. And I said, well, heck, I'll take that. Oh, yep, they gave it to me, and I've had it here. I've been running my experiments with it, and it still works, you know, better than ever. So, you know, with that said, don't underestimate the junk, man. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But, you know, light bulbs, fluorescent lighting, there's some really amazing technology out there, the Slayer Exciter, and, you know, Ryan Abrams, he does a lot of work with that, and he does some pretty impressive videos using the Slayer Exciter of how many light bulbs he can light up with that sucker. And, man, I'm telling you what, there's a whole lot of potential using that deal. And there's so many different ways that you could energize that those old fluorescent bulbs, even after they won't work in the normal system, you can still get them to light up. And if you use that as a lighting system for your house to where you're only using one 12-volt battery to light your entire house, think about the money you're going to save on lighting. And you can actually take these things and set them up to the point where you can still use the light switches at the same time, you know. So I don't see why, you know, everybody's not at least attempting to do what we're talking about. What do you guys think?
The fluorescents will even charge your solar. energize a solar panel.
I was just going to ask that. What would happen if you took, like, hooked a Slayer exciter up, got a nice fluorescent light going on there, and then got a little solar panel on just to... It probably wouldn't keep the battery charged up there, but I guarantee that it would last a little longer if you rerouted everything back into itself.
Yeah, it's not quite as efficient as sunlight, but it works.
And probably keep the Slayer going just that much longer.
Yeah, well, there's even that. You're talking about extending the life of it, you know, of your battery. You know, there's all kinds of... Muddy talks about whenever he puts a solar panel on the top of his truck to make it where the doggone alternator doesn't kick on so often. And, you know, so there you go, man. Even whenever he's not running the car, it's still charging the battery up. And so there's so many different ideas. It's just mind-boggling. Anybody? Radio silence.
Yeah. No, definitely good ideas there, Shazis.
Well, that's the whole premises behind Mad Science and the Knights of the Round Table, is to bring these ideas to the table, and hopefully somebody will put some of these in use and benefit themselves, whatever, you know. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to do something to benefit this world, you know, in a positive manner. We got all these people out there who claim to be our representatives and are always complaining about, you know, we got to save the planet and, you know, we got to reduce our carbon emissions, which me and my scientific mind for, you know, at least well over 20 some odd years of my life, I've been hollering about this way back when I was just a little zit-faced geek knowing science, you know. And it's all bogus. You know, there is no energy crisis. The only thing there is a knowledge crisis, that people don't pay attention to things that are going on around them. They pretty much put their trust in somebody else who doesn't necessarily have their best interest at heart. You know, if the electric company really cared about you, they'd show you ways that you could produce electricity without having to pay a huge bill. They're boo-hooing how, oh, well, you know, we got to charge you more money because, you know, we're having to spend all this money on this and that, and then carbon taxes are really going to get you. Of course, Remedy, you already know that kind of deal because you've seen the light bills. And your average Joe just can't afford that kind of stuff. But if they cared, you know, they're making money hand over fist. They boo-hoo and they get all kinds of tax breaks and... You know, because we're providing a public service and that kind of stuff. Well, you know, to me, a public service is, you know, once I paid my taxes, that's that. You know, it's paid for. No, they're not even just going to do that. They're going to charge you taxes on top of taxes and charge you a bill for the electricity used as well. So, you know, why are they getting tax breaks? I mean, they got millions of ways by which to pass the doggone... tax burden that they are under, if they were even under a tax burden, pass it on to the consumer. So we're getting screwed, man. When's the last time you got a light bill from the sun or the wind or the dirt or the creek, or if you're living next to the ocean, there's a nifty gizmo out there that sets out there, and as the waves are coming in, it's moving a paddle wheel back and forth and producing electricity. And so there's all kinds of ways by which you can get free energy. And, you know, for those folks out there that misconstrue what free energy is all about and they think it has to be 0 point or whatever, I'm sorry that you misunderstood, but I ain't never got a light bill from the sun. I ain't never got a light bill from nature, any portion of nature. And I'm tapping into it. You know, that's the way I'm getting off the grid. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, I'm on board. Just as I need to get off the grid, it's costing me too much.
Absolutely.
I couldn't even imagine. Well, back to what you were saying, the electric companies don't really care for you. Do you guys, like, have to go through emission tests with vehicles down there, Shaz?
Yeah, well, not necessarily. They just check to see that you got a catalytic converter on there. Can you add Ryan Abrams into the call?
Yeah, hang on here. I gotta find them. There we go.
Anyway, you know, there's all kinds of scams. Catalytic converter is the biggest scam of all scams. You know, because all the thing the catalytic converter is a reburner. And when you say reburner, what's that mean? Well, it means that you have a motor that is so inefficient that it's wasting fuel. So instead of modifying the injectors or the carburetor system, whichever one you're using, and the electronic ignition system or the point system, whichever one you're using, instead of modifying it to send into the combustion chamber just the exact amount needed to push that piston down to turn the camshaft and so on, they pump it in there, you know, just too much, and they waste it. And all the, so whenever your gas is injected into the cylinder, and it fires via the spark plug, it in the time that it takes for that piston to be shoved down real quick, all the rest of that fuel that was sent in there gets sent out the exhaust system, and then it is reburned inside the catalytic converter, which is heated up inside there due to the heat from the exhaust. And so it's just burning off wasted fuel.
And it produces sulfuric acid vapor, which causes the acid rain.
Yeah.
But where I was going with that was with, like you said, the electric company, they don't necessarily care about you. Well, up here, the emissions test costs $40, and you can't get a little sticker that we got to put on our plates in order to be able to drive for the year. Well, if your car fails the E-test, then you can just pay something like $400 and some odd, and then they don't even care about it. You get your sticker, and you go on your way, and it's just, well, for some reason, I'm just thinking that they're really not concerned about the environment at all there.
Well, if they were...
Not at all. Not any of the countries run by the Commonwealth, you know?
If they were...
All got the same plan going.
If they were concerned...
It's a revenue source.
If they were concerned about the environment, they would be listening to guys like us, you know, because we're talking about all different types of technology, green energy, you know. The green people, they make me madder than anybody else, because while they're out there talking it, you know, hey, we got to save the planet, we got to save the trees, they're not listening. We're sitting there telling them how you can get clean, free energy, hydrogen. When you burn hydrogen... You know, oxygen and hydrogen makes up water, H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. When you burn that in a combustion chamber, what do you get out the other end?
H2O.
You get water. And so...
Not only that, you can weld underwater with hydrogen.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. If they really cared, you know, and the green people really wanted to get behind saving the planet, they should get behind their local mad science guy and learn everything that they can. You know, there's all kinds of solutions out there. And so with that said, they don't care. Otherwise, it'd already be solved. Like I keep saying about the whole starving in the world thing. There are people starving in third world countries that shouldn't be starving. There is absolutely no excuse for anyone in this world to do without. But the greedy people up to the top that want to go over and exploit these third world countries, instead of going over there and giving them a generator and showing them how to irrigate and grow food and making their life better, or even worst case scenario, offering them a piece of land somewhere where they can move over to where the environment's a little better and they can get fed and clothed and sheltered. They don't. They just go over and they exploit. They exploit Mexico. They exploit Africa. They exploit for financial gain. They don't do anything to benefit these people. They keep saying, oh, well, we're going to go over there and we're going to help these people out. And I get mad every time I see a commercial come on TV talking about how there's a little starving baby in this country and you got some organization, send me your money, send me your money. Well, where is the doggone governments? Where is all the money that we keep pumping out via our taxes and everything else under the sun? You know, people talk a lot of BS about American people. Americans are pretty giving people. They give you the shirt off their back. And I'm talking about the average Joe. I'm not talking about the politician or the corporate businessman that's out to make a buck or whatever. I'm talking about the average Joe. We give billions and billions of dollars to all kinds of charities because we have a heart that says that we need to do this. We need to take care of people. But they need to redirect this money that's going up there. And on the way, whenever I give my donation to these people, they're getting whacked via taxes. They're getting whacked by the doggone media system. The media should flat out volunteer free airtime for anyone who is going to feed a starving baby anywhere in the world. But they don't.
No, they're fucked up on that. Excuse the French.
Oh, please don't do that. Don't do that online, man.
They've always poor starving kids and, you know, feed Africa, feed this, and it's like, well, we've got the resources, we've got the ability to do it, so why are they starving, you know?
Back onto that, where you see all these commercials on there, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my grandfather actually used to, like, do that dollar a day or whatever, send over to Africa and all that, until he was watching the news one time, and I guess they had a documentary on there, how it explained how, you know, out of that dollar, our government takes a cut. The bank that's sending it over there has got to take their cut, and then their government's got to take their cut, and by the time it actually gets to the community, it's like down to a fraction of a penny, and it's, you know, I'd be thinking, like, why can't you guys just, like, put out the cost of transferring it over there, even though, like, I don't even think there is a cost in transferring it over there, but needless to say, it's just, like, it doesn't end up getting to the communities. It just...
And the board of directors gets massive salaries and huge bonuses.
Yeah,
it's not that. They're approaching us out of like a charity. Oh, donate to this charity. And then all of a sudden these guys are sitting in their nice cottage down in Florida somewhere or something like that. And it's just...
It's a scam.
That's what they made it up for. I mean, look how many of them just popped up in the 80s. It's like every other commercial was save a starving child, send your money, UNICEF. I mean, come on, it's...
You think that's what's going on?
You know, why don't instead of people donating money to send to Africa, why don't you just go to Africa? You know?
Yeah, it doesn't take no 30 years to solve starvation. Send that food and send that money to them direct, man. Have somebody who's down in the general neighborhood ship it over to them, have them bring it in or whatever, but put it in their hand. You know, you're putting it in multiple middlemen who are going to take their cut, just like you said, and by the time it actually gets down to them, what do they got? They got a rice cake instead of a loaf of bread, you know?
I just believe charity and business those two words do not go together.
No, and we, you know, here's the key why these networks that we're on right now mean such a big deal. It's a lot more than just what we're doing alone. You know, we're talking about free energy. We're talking about alternative medicine and stuff like that. We're actually trying to get the world motivated towards the right direction of doing stuff. You know, you in your own personal neighborhood, you know, you got somebody down the street that needs some help. Get off the couch and go help them. It's as simple as that. You know, you want to make this world a better place, it starts with you, the individual. And, you know, I'm using what resources and knowledge that I've got to try to share as much information with the world as fast as I possibly can, because I see the world's in need. If I had the financial capabilities and all that to go over there and physically hand these folks food and clothes and build them a house, I'd be doing it right now, you know. I don't have millions of dollars to where I can just jump on a jet anytime I want and have shipping containers moved in, you know. And then here's another factor in there. When you start sending the stuff over, they got pirates over there and they got doggone, you know, gangs over there that are stealing it before it ever gets to its intended target. And that's why I said in that deal, use the power of the military to literally walk in that loaf of bread and hand it to them personally. Hey, here you go, brother. You know, here's a generator for some electricity, and we're going to fix you right up. That's the perfect world. Does anybody disagree with that?
Not one bit there, Shaz, but when you're talking about, like, pirates and gangs and all that, like, if I don't know how to describe this one, but let's say that, you know, the world hadn't evolved the way that it has with this obsessive need for power and control, then these said gang members and their pirates, they wouldn't be down so low to the point where they got to go start stealing all this stuff. Like, that's just a random thought of mine.
Well, I agree with you.
There's plenty for everybody, and they're so desperate, that's why they're in the position they're in. So you're exactly right, you know. If they weren't put in the position by... I guess, us in a sense for not doing enough action, you know. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I think in a sense everybody's responsible a little bit.
My, I agree. My friend Dublin came up with the perfect idea. He coined it the phrase guerrilla charity. And, you know, that's just what we need to do. If you're in a neighborhood, you got a whole pocket full of vegetable seeds, just start chucking them in every doggone direction. You go down there, and if you see that somebody needs some water, hey, divert some water. Get out there with a shovel, dig a ditch, and send some water over to them or whatever. You know, anything that you could do to benefit all of humanity will start taking away that desperation. If people don't have to fight over food because it's readily available on every street corner, then there's not nothing to worry about. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I hear you, man. I hear what you're preaching, and it's all good.
But it ain't going to happen until the average Joe gets up and does it. If you ever going to expect a corporation to have a change of heart and start taking some of their profits and benefiting the poor, you know, they only do what they do for a tax break and to make themselves look good for the moment. But what have they done? They haven't done nothing. Seriously. You know, they're making billions of dollars. They may, you know, throw a little bit of change to a charity, you know. And, you know, it sickens me whenever I see anybody walk past a person and they see that this person needs some money, you know, they got to sign up. Okay, they got this deal where they say, well, you know, this guy maybe, you give him money, he's just going to go buy dope. So what? You know? So what if he goes buys dope? You don't know. You judge that man before you ever even knew that man. You know, maybe he ain't going to go buy dope. Maybe he's going to go buy some food. But if you gave him the money regardless, without any kind of judgment, just to try to benefit him, he looks at the world a little bit different, because now here's somebody who didn't even think, didn't even flinch. They just did something good for him. You know, there's a reason to try to get yourself up out of the gutter. Anybody disagree with that?
No, I think that's good, man.
No, I mean, I see those guys, and you know, most of the time the signs say, you know, they need help, or they need food. Usually, it never says I need money. I mean, I've seen a few where it's like, please, I need money. No, really, I can't even think of one time. It's always help or food. So right there, that gives you the choice to. Right there, you get to choose what you want to do. I mean, you can help them, or you can get them food. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times I've bought some fast food for, you know, and yeah, it's not the healthiest stuff, but for a homeless person. And I give money to them too, you know, and people look at me like I'm crazy and I'm just helping out like a drunk or something, or, you know, or whatever. I mean, you know, I feel bad.
That's sick, and it's, you know, that's,
I think people that give, you know, gotta have a heart in this world.
Well, here's the thing, guys.
Plan should have a 30% window in it where they give to community service.
Here's the thing, you know, if you don't do anything, you know, if you just walk past that person, you know, and just go on down the road, and you can sleep at night knowing that you're living in a nice house underneath a nice bed, you know, and you can try to justify it via, you know, I'm a working man, I work hard for everything I got, you know, and this and that, then there's really seriously something wrong with you personally, because, you know, I can't sleep at night knowing that there's a baby somewhere in this world starving to death. I can't sleep at night knowing that there's somebody out there doing without, and I got it made. So I thank the good Lord for my blessings on a daily basis for everything that I got, because I feel like in the position that I am, you know, I call myself King Shaziz the Terrible on the Knights of the Round Table. That's just a spoof, you know, for the whole show. You know, it's kind of a mockery of the system, but, you know, I feel like a king because I got a wonderful family. I've got beautiful kids. I got a home. I got a car that I can get around in, a cell phone, you know, none of which is, you know, anything top of the line. I'm not wealthy by any means. But every chance I get to do anything positive, whether it be just a smile or a dollar or whatever, then that's not my way of making myself feel better for you know, general purposes, you know, to ease my guilt for what I do have. That's just my way of trying to give back to a world that has given so plentiful to me. You know, I feel like I owe the world something. I don't feel like the world owes me anything. I feel like I owe the world a lot. And, you know, maybe that makes me sound crazy, but that's what's in my heart. And, you know, so if you can walk past somebody in need and look at them because, oh, you know, they're dirty or whatever, they're dirty for a reason. You know, they're down in that ditch or down in the gutter for a reason. You know, give them free energy.
And I don't, hey, and I don't think, like, just to add to that, I don't think any of them attended to or try to be down in the gutter, down in the ditch. Ever meet anybody that wants to be in a ditch or in a gutter?
No, I haven't.
No?
No.
It's just choices and decisions, you know, it's just, it's all, and the Kings, this is funny, speaking about, you know, the King Shaziz, you know, King being, you know, Kings used to be the ones that were the scholars, they played music, they were artists, thinkers, inventors, you know, the old kings. Those are who ended up people choosing to rule them or make decisions. You know, it wasn't these people that were picked and placed into a position for someone to do something to keep us all under someone's thumb, as usual.
Well, to me, a good king is a servant to the community, you know? Good representative.
A teacher.
Yeah.
Those were the first kings. You know, Larry knows probably what I'm talking about.
But we got things going on in the world, and we can solve them. And I believe that we're making steps towards doing exactly that. You know, we've got our work cut out for us, because while we're trying to build it up, we've got these knuckleheads on the other side, politicians trying to tear it down. So by spreading the network as far as you can, you know, if you have access to Facebook, who cares whether the CIA or any of the secret societies are listening? Tell them what it is that we're talking about. Join in. Come over and jump in the chat room.
Well, you don't have to identify yourself to put out any information. Yeah. That's the thing, you know. That's it. Put it out there. It's a being.
But the thing is, tell people about it. Point it out to them. There's no leader in this group. It's just a bunch of people that have the like mind to come together, share these ideas with each other, and make the world a better place. Show people in third world countries all options that they can use with things that are laying around them. I wish that we could take all these folks that come on the Knights of the Round Table and on the Mad Science Show. I wish that we could take a trip over to the third world countries physically, go over there and look at what they've got access to, and show them better ways by which they can use it. Show them ways by which they can heat water and purify water and do all this kind of stuff here. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, all you need to heat water, for goodness sake, is the sun.
Yeah.
I mean,
and everybody's got that. Some people got more sun than they want.
Some places have a little less, but you know.
Yeah, but in those places that have less, there's other things that they can use that they do have. Like, you know, in some places, there's places on the earth, believe it or not, where lightning crashes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, continuous lightning all the time. Man, they got all the power they need. So, let's show them how to tap into it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And, you know,
could set up huge networks to, you know, store it and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard more against arguments than for it, though. Like, it'd be too hard to do. It would be too costly.
Every time I hear an argument like that, I get sick to my stomach, because the most generally, the folks that saying it can't be done has some sort of agenda, or they are so indoctrinated by the system, like the laws of physics that are written into stone, you know. I aggravate the college-educated people, because I go against the laws of physics at every single turn. Because if you go back in history and you listen, the scholars were trying to tell everybody the world was flat, and until one guy looked over the deal and he said, wait a second, if the world's flat, then why did that ship disappear over the horizon and then later, a few days later, come back over the horizon? You know, why, did he fall off the planet or what? You know, and it took the guy outside the box to ask that tough question, you know, to change the whole mentality of the world. You know, once that question was asked, everybody said, hey, yeah, he's right. I see boats leave all the time. They go over the hill and you don't see them anymore. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Why is my Earth flat but the sun's round and the moon's round?
Yeah. I think what's flat is the doggone brains of the elite out there. It's just common sense, man. You know? What do you do? But here, don't let this all get you discouraged, because we know that all these things are going on in the world, because we're here talking about solutions. Talk to your friends on Facebook. Talk to them on YouTube and start up your own radio show. Start up your own network and keep doing the same thing that we're doing. And it's growing. It's growing by leaps and bounds. Awake Radio, No Borders Radio, and We Roar, and Shake and Wake Radio, and TCT, I think it is, and 1800 Online. Man, there's some wonderful folks in all these networks, and there's just more and more growing by the day. And we're joining forces, you know. We're sharing each other's network. If you go over on Shaziz Radio and you click on Shows and Host up there at the website, I'm promoting everybody else's network. You go down to Shows and Hosts and click on alternative radio stations to listen to. I don't care whether you're listening to Shaziz Radio. I would like you to listen to Shaziz Radio, but if you ain't listening to Shaziz Radio, go over and listen to Awake Radio or No Borders Radio or 1800 Online or TCT or Shake and Wake or any of them. Go out there and listen to them. Go to alternative networks all over the planet. Listen to them and talk to other people in the world, and you'll find out something amazing. You know, there's a lot of brilliant people out there. You know, a lot of knuckleheads, but there's a lot of brilliant people out there.
There's always knuckleheads.
Yeah. If you got somebody over there preaching global warming and they're pumping out the media hype and propaganda, move on to the next radio station, man. Because it's my thorn in the side. I know that there's a lot of people out there who truly believe in deep down in their heart that global warming, man-made climate change is real. But I'm here to tell you the science just doesn't back it up, you know. There are knuckleheads out there manipulating the weather. They do that. They've done that way back in the day when they used to spray silver iodide up in the clouds to make the hydrogen and oxygen combine, be heavy, and then fall. You know, they would make it rain. It didn't always work, but it did work enough that they could actually get it to rain where it wasn't going to rain. There's ways by which you can stimulate the air to do that.
I don't believe in global warming. I believe in climate change, though. I mean, that's
climate change.
The climate to change.
Climate change is a natural function of nature. Like, you go over to the Philippines and you could stand out there, it'd be sunny all day long, everything's great. Just instantaneously a cloud rolls in, the doggone rain just dumps on you like buckets, and then the cloud peels out. So one second it's warm out, and the next second it's freaking raining cats and dogs outside. That's climate change. You know, so, you know, you can't argue with climate change, because it is a natural deal, but it has nothing, and I repeat, absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with carbon emissions. And I will argue till I'm blue in the face, until somebody can prove to me how a molecule that is heavier than oxygen is magically making it up into the Earth's atmosphere and stopping the good radiation and letting in the bad radiation, the UV, ultraviolet light, which is essentially the worst form of heating that you can get, regardless, getting it trapped in to a planet that 24 hours a day Half the day it's in darkness, which is getting cold, and the other half it's in the sunlight. You have the Earth three-quarters covered in water, which makes one heck of a reflector. If you don't believe me, go sit out in a boat for a few hours and see if you don't come in with a red face like a lobster. And so it's reflecting sun back out into space. And at the top of the pole and at the bottom of the Earth, the poles, they never, ever change temperatures, for the simple fact is it's cold as crap in space. You're not getting near the sunlight at the edge of the Earth as you would right at the equator. That's why the equator is so hot that you can't, you can't stand it in the daytime. But even at night, it's hotter than heck in the desert in the daytime, and it's colder than crud in the desert at night. Ask anybody who lives in the desert. They'll tell you that. So, with that said, how is it that CO2, which isn't coming out of a exhaust system, it's carbon monoxide, not carbon dioxide, and it's carbon monoxide is one oxygen atom connected to one carbon atom. When you're driving down the road and you're tooting out all that CO or carbon monoxide, it floats out there, drops down, the plants suck off the carbon, turn it into sugar through a process called photosynthesis, and the plants grow like weeds on the side of the road. Is the same reason why every time you turn around you see the mowers on the side of the road cutting the grass, because they're living high in the hog because they're living right next to the doggone traffic. So with that said, man, don't tell me about global warming when I'm shoveling 20 inches of snow off of my driveway.
I think the whole global warming thing was made up just to sell more movie tickets.
Oh, they started with the hole in the ozone layer, man.
Yeah, I know.
And then it went to
elementary school when they were doing that stuff. That was a long time ago. I mean,
yeah, but here's the thing.
Flooded up above Colton somewhere.
Yeah, well, Australia. It was supposed to, supposedly it was above the Antarctic, all right? Well, here's the thing, and you know this for a fact. You know what ozone is because you're messing around with Tesla coils.
Yep.
All right? Well, all over the planet, all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, there is lightning going on somewhere. And every time the lightning crashes across the sky, it superheats the hydrogen, the oxygen, the nitrogen in the air, and creates ozone. And so with that said, how are you going to deplete something that is continuously replenishing itself? Now keep in mind, if you're shooting rockets up through space to put telecommunication satellites in there, you're going to disrupt the ozone layer, obviously. All right? The key to it is, instead of sending one up on a daily basis or a weekly basis or whatever, you know, time it out. Watch the ozone, if you're worried about the ozone, which I'm absolutely 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt, not even remotely concerned about the ozone layer, because I know how it got there and how it's continuously staying there. But if you're worried about it, stop sending rockets up through the atmosphere. Let it seal back in, because it's kind of like you put water, you put oil on top of water, oil will float on top of water. Poke your finger down in that oil, you'll notice that the oil will spread apart. Keep your finger out of the oil and leave it alone, and you will watch as the oil closes back in on top of that water. Same thing with the ozone layer. So, if you're worried about the carbon emissions, Al Gore, fly in something that isn't using a whole lot of jet fuel, you know, like stay out of the corporate jet, get you one of those little pedal airplanes and make yourself to and fro, live in a mud hut instead of a 9-bedroom mansion with a giant carbon footprint, and instead of getting into a corporate limousine, get you one of them Chinese rickshaws and pay your buddy to tote you down the hall, down to your next global warming meeting, you knucklehead. That's what I'm saying.
He's a robot. He could just walk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In this fuel. He's solar powered.
He could pay a couple of his bodyguards to give him a piggyback ride to the meeting. But no, you got to reduce your carbon footprint while I fly around in my corporate jet, and you got to send me money for my books and my videos and all this while I make all these speeches and tell you doomsday's right around the corner, waste the majority of your life and teach your kids a bunch of BS science in school when it ain't true. brothers and sisters of the world, I'm here to say this Earth is a thermal electric generator of epic proportions. It has its own magnetic field. It has its own shield from radiation. It has its own ozone layer that is continuously replenished. If you pollute your oceans and kill your fish, guess what? The food chain drops and you die. Okay? That's as simple as that. If you ain't taking care of the land you're standing on, the land won't take care of you. If you're living down in a city and you got 300,000 cars driving down the street, you're going to choke on the smoke. And while you're living in the city and you're complaining about people's secondhand cigar smoke or cigarette smoke, then complain about yourself and your SUV that you're fixing to get in there to put a carbon footprint boot upside somebody's butt. That's what I'm saying. Mad science at its best. Anybody can disagree with that?
Not one bit.
Man, I'm telling you, man, it's common sense. Where is it? It's crazy. It makes me so mad because we have all the solutions, we have all the resources, and there is no exponential growth when it comes to human beings. You are not overpopulating the planet. We could put 10 times the people we've got on this planet and still have enough resources. The problem is, the folks that are out there saying that the planet's overpopulating, they're not worried about, you know, volunteering their family to depopulate the planet. They want to volunteer your family to depopulate the planet. Put some pills in your system that's going to keep you sterile so you can't have no babies, all right? And while they're living high on the hog and having all their kind of 10 kids or whatever, and they're all eating really good food that's not genetically altered or anything like that, they send these all kinds of chemical. You go to the grocery store, it's a chemistry set, man. While you're chewing on them Cheetos and nachos and not reading the doggone thing that tells the chemicals in there, red dye number whatever, you know, monosodium glutamate. When's the last time you pulled some fruit up out of the doggone garden that had monosodium gluteus maximus in it or whatever?
I don't think a garden can grow that.
Yeah, and your apple tree ain't putting red dye number or whatever in it. So come on, man. You're eating poison, and they're making millions off of you. You go to the doctor, instead of him telling you to drink some green tea to clean your system out, he's going to give you some sort of antibiotics or whatever, some sort of drug from some huge pharmacy that may or may not have tested it completely before a few years down the line there's a class action lawsuit against that specific company because everybody came out with a third eye, a third ear, or liver cancer, or their lung hanging out their face. You know, the doggone... The symptoms, possible side effects of the medicine that they're trying to give you are worse than the doggone disease. So
the way I see it, they'll give you a medication for one thing, you'll have an adverse reaction to that, and then they got a medication to counteract that, and then you'll have that one, then they got something else for that.
Nature's the best teacher. Learn from nature.
All this, ADHD and all that stuff, like that was never around 30-40 years ago.
Well,
there's no such thing. It's parents that don't teach their children to pay attention.
Yeah, they don't teach them to behave. Look, here's Larry. The thing, man. You know,
I love it, Larry.
If you like the system as it stands, keep on supporting the beast that's eating you alive. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you cannot pump a whole bunch of fluoride and chlorine and stuff into your body's system and not expect that your brain is not going to react accordingly. You know, anything, lead, whether it be lead or mercury or any other synthetic that's getting into your bloodstream, that's getting up into your brain is an electrically charged machine of epic proportions, and whenever you cut a wire on one of your wiring harnesses on your car don't function properly because it has a short in it, just like your brain. These chemicals are brain inhibitors. They keep the electric charge from making it from one point to the next, and so the message doesn't get sent. You're getting mentally ill. You're getting stupid because you are eating trash. Literally. Your body's a chemistry set, man. And if you jack up the chemistry of your body, you become a diabetic. If you throw synthetics in your body, you get cancer. Specifically, you know, that's it. You know, think about how a pearl is created.
Okay.
So, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to solve it? What's our solution to the whole deal? What do you guys think?
You got to watch what you eat. That's important.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Knowledge, folks. Knowledge. Knowledge is power. The more knowledge you have in your head, the more you can share it with everyone in this world.
I've got some advice for people when it comes to food in the grocery store and spraying. I've said this before. Sometimes it's easy to wash certain fruit, apples and things that you get from stores. But if you eat blackberries or berries, like porous kind of berry type thing, I would advise just growing your own, because no matter how hard you wash a blackberry, I don't think you're going to get it out, you know? Maybe after you boil them or, you know, or make something out of it, you'll get everything out of what they spray on there. But I don't know, guys. You got to really watch out for that. That's a big deal. I mean, the stuff that they're spraying on our food and trucking in an 18-wheeler to your grocery store, if you had any idea what's on it, you wouldn't put it in your mouth. You wouldn't even buy it. You wouldn't even want to touch it. It'd be like, you know, playing with a magnetron out of a microwave. You know, I think playing with that's a lot safer than playing with berries that you buy from a grocery store.
I pick berries off a conservation area every year. They've got about 40 acres of them.
There you go. There's plenty of places where I live where you can just go and you pay for, you know, you buy per pound and you pick your own and.
Well,
that's the way to do it, really. And the real way to do it is just to grow it yourself. Most of these berry, you know, plants and tree apples and stuff, these are perennials. They're going to come back every year.
Yeah,
it's not like you got to plant a new seed, you know.
Therein lies the solution there, Brian, is that you go out there and you start planting things in all different directions and tell people, hey, man, there's some blackberry bushes over there, man, and there's some cherry trees and some apple trees. And, like, I'm literally building an orchard on my property, and I'm going to open it to the community. Bring your basket, pick your own fruit, and enjoy it, you know. And that way, there is a community garden right here that if anybody's in need, if you're short on groceries, come down to my shack and pick you some vegetables and some fruits, and I hope it benefits you and your family. That's what everybody needs to do.
I do that I've done that every year probably for the last, I'd say, 10 years now. You know, we always grow way more food than we can consume. And it's not that big of an area, guys. It's not like these big, huge fields, you know. I sometimes drive by cornfields that are just endless, and I'm like, where is this all going? Is that many people eating that? And then I realize how much corn they use in all the food, and then you figure out where it went. But basically, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds of apples are just laid on a state-maintained road for people just to get vegetables. Usually, you know, I'm a little distracted this year with Tesla. I didn't really get as big as I usually do, but most of the time I have baby plants, too. And I'll be getting, like, around this time, springtime, that I wouldn't have any room to put in, and I just lay those on the side of the road. People pick them up, and they bring me my pots back. It's pretty cool. But
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
It starts with, like, it's just as always says, it just starts with you. You know, it's amazing what one person can do if that's really what they want to do. If they really want to give stuff to people and try to teach people and share and try to change things, it doesn't take. I mean, you know, it's nice to have more than one, but you can do quite a bit by yourself.
Well, you know what? Love for humanity costs absolutely nothing whatsoever. And, you know, you can spend love like it's going out of style. You're never going to go bankrupt in that portion, as long as you got a good heart. And so, you know, with that said, you know, the solutions are there. Go out there, start planting gardens. If you see a vacant lot somewhere in a poor community, go over there and plant a garden. Don't ask the local government, say, hey, can I plant a garden over there? Just do it, you know. And maybe they'll see it over there and they'll send their goons over to stomp it out. But while they're stomping that out, you got another one growing on the other side of the street. Vice versa. You know, you keep them so busy trying to get rid of the food that they ain't going to have no time to even mess with you. Do a Johnny Appleseed and put a whole bunch of mixtures of fruits and vegetable seeds in your pocket, and as you're on your jog down through the nature trails, just start chucking them in every direction. Eventually, there's food growing everywhere, and there ain't no reason for anyone to do without. Go over to these third world countries, show these folks how to irrigate. That's why I said it'd be awesome if we could get a crew of us guys who are outside the box thinkers to go over there and take inventory of the resources. Hey, you got an old pipe over there. We can work with that, and there's some copper wire there. We can work with that and so on down the line and build them something. Show them how to do it better, you know. What do you guys think?
Of course, like you said, wherever we can go in the world, there's not going to be sun, wind, or water falling.
Yeah.
You know? So that's all you need. I mean, you need that, some iron, some magnets, there you go, some copper, and a piece of PVC pipe, you know, and maybe some old neon tubes. But, I mean, I feel like people are still going to bed at night, lighting a candle or burning fire for light.
Yep.
I mean, you know, like when it gets dark, they all go inside and they're just, you know, or they're around a fire. And yeah, that's cool and all. I mean, I enjoy sitting around a fire too, but not as my primary light source.
Yeah,
I just cannot understand, like she said, people going hungry, people. First off, people without lights on at night is just beyond me. In 2014, I mean, we. How long ago was it, Larry, that we sent somebody to the moon? I mean, come on. Yeah. We were talking about that.
Still in the Stone Age.
Yeah. I mean, geez. It's been so many years, you know, and the fact that people are still living as if it was 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, is beyond comprehension. It makes absolutely no sense. And it, like Shizu says, you know, people can say conspiracy theory, well, or they're just stupid. No, I don't think they're stupid. This is the purposely done, and it's always been purposely done.
So, well, the whole thing that the age and still using steam power, to me, is ludicrous.
Yeah. Well, you know, even in a third world country, something as simple as steam power would be better than nothing. But, you know, you ain't got nobody going over there to set them up. These corporations that have billions of dollars that are exploiting these people over in these third world countries, they should have their feet held to the fire. If you're going to go over there and use your factories, you need to go over there and keep that water clean for them people. You need to show them and help them to make a better world for them place. But, you know, it's not happening like that, you know. You go to Walmart and you buy things from Walmart that are made in third world countries. Some of these folks, they ain't even getting 50 cents a day or a couple dollars a day if they're extremely lucky. And they're living in poverty conditions while you're over there, you know, buying up all this stuff. I'm not saying you got to feel bad about that, but you should think about it before you actually do it, because what you're doing is perpetuating it, you know. You're making it easier for these corporations to get by with having, you know, 300% markup on something that it only costs 50 cents to make in some third world country. You know, it's sickening. And then you're going to sit there and send me a message on the TV and say, oh, there's this baby starving to death. Well, I'm sad about the baby, and I'm really sad about the fact, you know, that humanity ought to literally be ashamed of themselves for even allowing that to occur. And if you're in the green movement out there and you want to save the planet, you should be ashamed of yourself too. You should be getting behind Ryan or Tom or Larry or myself or any of the alternative energy guys who are sitting there on a daily basis talking about these are different ideas that you can use that don't pollute anything. We're not trying to pollute it. We're trying to fix it. So instead of getting out there protesting and getting beat up and pepper sprayed, build you a community and start feeding the hungry. You know, there's folks out there got arrested and fined for trying to feed the homeless. How sickening is that? You know, take some food over there, and if they're trying to arrest somebody, get yourself arrested, feed them. You know, or do like we were talking about, like Dublin, Guerrilla Charity, run by there, hand them a sandwich, and run off. Or like Rick said, let's build a doggone air cannon and shoot sandwiches a couple miles over into the park to the homeless people and have them float down on parachutes. Where there is a will, there is a way. And that is what these networks are all about. We are the will and we are the way. We are the people. We are the only solution to the problem that is going to be making this world a better place, is for us to get off the couch, go down to the dump and salvage some of the stuff that was just wasted, and help somebody. Pick up a shovel, a mop, a broom, you know, cook some cookies or sandwiches and take them down and feed the poor. Why? Why is it still going on? It's still going on because we, the people who are the majority of good-hearted souls on this planet, who have the power, who do not exercise that power. We have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom of, we have the power of our spoken word. We have the power of the written word. We have the power of our actions and power of our love. Let's freaking use it. Let's use it and spread the word. Get everyone else to use it. It'll start like dominoes. It's the positive pebble in the pond thing. It's the whole paying it forward thing. If you want this world to be a better place, then don't rely on some king or some queen or some president or dictator or supposed representative. Get up and do it. It's as simple as that. Does anybody disagree?
Not at all. That's what I plan on doing when we are done with this show. Getting up and doing it. I'll just let you guys know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to take my two boys, my young boys outside. I'm going to show them how you can stick a piece of roll pipe. I think it's like 2-inch big stuff, big black roll pipe, about 100-foot long, and you can take it up the creek, and I can get the water pulled up and get it going through that pipe, and I can gravity feed it down. Well, the elevation of how far I take it up the creek is about that, maybe a little bit higher because of how much I can get going through it. How high I can bring it up. Well, I'm going to bring it up maybe 4 or 5 feet because I'm going to have that much drop. Then I'm going to go and take this bicycle tire out here, wheel out here, and some PVC pipe, and then I'm going to hook it to an X13. I just like calling it the Tesla motor. I know it's built by GE, whatever, but it was definitely stolen. It's just 3-phase, really cool motor. I'm going to stick it to a bridge rectifier, change it over from AC to DC. I'm going to run it into a Fisher-Price battery that you can get at Walmart, hook it to a Slayer exciter, and stick a bulb next to it, and let it run basically forever, I guess, because I don't see that water stopping anytime soon. It's been running for almost 40 years that I know of.
Well, so, there you go, man. There's a
and
solution.
And that's just a simple, simple, basic, easy thing. And hey, this is what I was doing last night. Once I get the Slayer going, I can hook up another coil, just a secondary, just away from it. Doesn't matter what size it is, and well, kind of does anyway. But and hook the bottom wire that would be feeding into it. Well, you just hook a wire to that, and then hook it to a bulb, and just lay it next to the Slayer that's running. And I was getting last night from 24 volts. I was getting almost 60 feet away with the bulb.
Yeah, I saw them videos, man.
So, you know.
I put thumbs up on all of them.
Yeah. Well, I know. I kind of lost it last night. You know, I'm trying to put out as much as I can, show everybody what I'm doing all the way up to the very end of getting it all running and having, you know, money, Scott, heck, he's sending me a 6-foot, 2-inch prop to put on one of the X13s. We're going to run it that way, too. I just want people to see how simple this is. I mean, it's not like, I always say, it's not like rocket science. It's not like putting something on the moon. It's not like sending something to Hummer to Mars and landing it. I mean, you know, those are some very complicated things. There's a lot of money in that for some reason. I don't understand. We got all these problems here, but we want to send $1 billion machines to the Mars. I mean, I like space. that's cool and all, but what are we doing? What are we... Really? I mean, $1 billion for some really cool pictures.
I feel you, brother.
Some samples. What? They're already so concerned that we screwed the planet up so much now. See, that's one of those things. They're so concerned about that they already messed it up. We're looking for another planet to go mess up. Yeah, come on.
Well, I feel you, brother. We're coming down to the wire here before the Beverly's Hope show. She should be rolling in here anytime soon. But in the meantime, like you're talking about, if they're so worried about the planet, why the heck they still fighting over oil when there's other resources available? Why are we still having wars around the world? You know, why are there still people starving? Why is there still people sick? We have the technology, the capability to literally create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And it just isn't going to happen as long as you've got traitorous, treasonous trash up in your White House or your parliaments or whatever. They don't care about you. They only care about themselves and their popularity, their doggone ratings in the polls. They don't care about free energy. They don't care about saving the planet or anything. And the folks out there who are out there protesting and getting beat up and all that kind of stuff, if you want to really protest, then get on board with Shaziz Radio or Wake Radio or No Borders or We Roar or Shake and Wake Radio. Get on board with all these networks. Tell all your friends on your social networks to do the same. Go out there, do some guerrilla charity and start taking care of people. Help your neighbors out instead of calling the law on them. Do whatever you can to get educated. Put the stuff on computer disk, put it on paper, write it down, scribble it on the wall so that you'll have it in case the power grid goes down, which in my belief is going to go down sometime in the near future because of the stupidity of all the entire system. You have solutions. We're offering the solutions. We're offering these solutions for free. So get behind the individuals out here who are telling you how that you can do it without having to pay the man. If you're going to pay the man, then you got to go and understand that the man's going to use your money for whatever he wants. When I pay my tax dollars, I'm not wanting to send a bomb over to blow somebody up and kill somebody with my money. So why am I paying my tax dollars? Because the man's got the gun pointed on the tip of my nose and says I got to pay it. So why? How are we going to get away from that? We're going to get away from that by building a system side by side with the system that is the beast. And we're going to make our system function so efficiently that we won't have no need for them any longer. You see what I'm saying? It's all going to start incrementally. We can't do this overnight. It didn't get in this mess overnight. It ain't going to get fixed overnight. But until you get up off the couch and start fixing your own personal communities, you're just going to have to contend with it. Go eat your genetically altered foods and take your corporate drugs and ignore that guy out there who's telling you about hemp oil or anything like that that could be beneficial. You know? And it's like this. If I had a disease and I knew I had this disease and, you know, there was only option to go into to the doctor to either get chemotherapy and have my hair fall out and be sick all the time or try some alternative cure, I'd be trying every alternative cure under the sun because what do I got to lose? Nothing. So...
Sorry to interrupt you there. I was just going to say I'll definitely vouch for that hemp oil and the cannabis medicine stuff because I personally know one gentleman really well. There was a time he actually should have been in an ambulance if not dead, and he actually was able to drive himself down to the hospital, and the doctor, like, that the doctor was sold on it right there. I don't know if the doctor ever looked into it anymore, but that was just one case. And I know another gentleman, don't know him so well, but he used to be like a really hardcore activist on it, and he had cancer before, and in his time of doing the alternative medicine it actually subsided, but then to keep some of his family members happy he had to he had to quit, and now I guess he's taking a turn for the worse.
Well, that's another testimony, man. I'll tell you what, we got to get up out of here. We're probably going to run a hair over into the Hope Show, but Tom, thanks for hosting the call, and Larry, thanks for all your good information as well, and Mitko, you still in there, brother? Yeah, I don't hear him anywhere. Well, Mitko, he's a brilliant individual. You should talk to him as well. And Ryan, thank you for all your input and good words. And everybody, you've been listening to Shazia's Mad Science. I'm going to play us up out of here with a tune. And so with that said, stay tuned for the Hope Show. Peace and love, everybody.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.